We didn't dismiss our children. The mass is going to them. Amen.
Yes, boy.
Attention to one verse that's found in the responsive reading, which serves as the background text of our sermon today, and that's Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 through 56. The background text, but we want to read in your hearing. Luke 8 and 41.
Amen.
Luke 8 and 41. When you have that, say amen.
Amen.
I know you guys have some great plans for your fathers and things today, so you won't be able to leave here and say the preacher held us too long. We ain't got time to spend with Dad, so I'm going to be brief. Amen.
Amen.
If you have the text, say amen.
Amen.
And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Amen. A man named Jairus. I want to talk just for a few moments about a great father. A great father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I struggled with what to talk about today. Amen. And I could have preached anything from the Word of God. It didn't have to be something specific, thematic regarding fathers. But we do celebrate and commend you on today. But as we look at a great father, the world regards, amen, great in a different way than God does. Me and the world regard as great would be kings who have kept the peace or conquered territories. Amen. Your mind might go back historically to Alexander the Great, who conquered all of the known world at his time. He died at a young age. But before he died, he had one request. He said, "Build my coffin with a hole on each side and stick my arms out those holes so that the world will know that I came with nothing, and I'm leaving with nothing." The world regards great as generals who have been great leaders in battle, the Pattons of our historical time. Also, great would be athletes who have thrilled spectators. Amen. Our minds always, we can go down the list of athletes who we consider to be great. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. But the view from above, from God's perspective, men who are great are men who have come to faith in Christ. Amen. Men who have been faithful to their wives. Men who have been examples to their children.
Yes.
These are the type of men that God considers great.
Amen.
These are godly men.
Amen.
Amen. Does not have to be concerned about the apparatus of measurements by our worldly society. But they are great men in the eyes of God.
Yes.
Amen. Good fathers. Amen. Supportive and protective. These are great men. Men that have bowed before God humbly and said, "Father, here am I, send me." These are the men that God considers great. So our view of greatness is very different than what God thinks. You remember Jesus said that greatness is measured in our service. Is that right? You remember the occasion, not only once but twice. On one occasion, the mama came to Jesus and said, "I want you to let my boys, James and John, sit at your left and your right hand in your kingdom." And then they had the audacity to also ask Jesus, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, allow us one on your left and one on your right."
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "You don't really know what you're asking for." To be great is to be a servant.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's when he got down and, amen, girded himself to the basin of water and a towel and began to wash their feet. Because he wanted to show them that true greatness comes when one is willing to serve. Is that right? Amen. It's not the muck of the muck. Amen. It's not the one on the top. It's not the one who has. Amen. It's the one that's willing to serve. So fathers today, many of you, and Reverend Master mentioned this, have received greeting cards, and you've received texts and emails that say Happy Father's Day. Amen. I receive Happy Father's Day messages from, amen, people that's not my children. Amen. And that's all right. Amen. But those are generic messages. Happy Father's Day. It's a little bit more that goes into, amen, I believe, when you say Happy Father's Day to somebody. For some of us, it's a happy day. For others, it might not be quite as much. Some have great relationships with their fathers. Amen. And for some, the memories and the relationships are not so pleasant. Our circumstances are varied in this place when it comes to our fathers. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I hope today that we can glean from the word what it takes to be a great father. Amen. Amen. I told one of my sons this morning, I said, you're a good father. And he said, "I'm just trying to do what you did for me." Is that all right? Amen. Amen. And so we can glean and understand to be a great earthly father is a microcosm of a great heavenly father. What do you mean, preacher? All I'm saying is that for children to truly love God as their heavenly father, we as earthly fathers must be examples. We must be imitators of our heavenly Father. Because I know it's difficult, amen, to get a child to love God as Father when his or her earthly father is unloving. Do y'all get that? You are the father figure. You're trying to tell them to love God as your father, but you have not been a loving father. That's a disconnect. They don't want to love another father when you set an example of an unloving father. Is that right? We got to let them know, amen, as I love you, your heavenly father loves you so much more than I could ever love you. But if they just get a glimpse of how loving you are, it's not a far stretch for them to understand that the God that we serve is loving. And that we will not go wrong by reaching out and extending our hand to a loving father. Amen. I have special memories, amen, of my father. There are so many things I learned from him that I sought to emulate in my own life and to pass on to my children and to share with them, amen. And so that when they look at me or when my wife looks at me, she sees a loving father and understands that the God we serve is even more loving than that. God can love you more than I could ever love you. Do you understand that? There are three reasons why Jairus should be regarded as a great father. And I'm going to let you go take your dad out to eat. Amen. Three reasons. Amen. Unless you went out yesterday. But then you could say yesterday didn't count. Amen. Today is Father's Day. Is that right?
Amen.
The first reason, Jairus did the greatest thing a father can do. That's the first thing. He did the greatest thing a father can do. Verse 41, we read it already. He came and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him. He begged him, he pleaded with him that he would come into his house. I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that he came to Jesus. And anything that makes you go to the Lord is, that's good for you. Is that right? Anything that makes you call on the name of the Lord, that's good for you. Amen, amen. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when I was afflicted. Because it helped me to know his ways. An old preacher said a long time ago that hard times and affliction is God's shepherd dog. Amen. You know what a shepherd dog is? It gets you back on track. Amen. Amen. When you go off track. But Jairus was probably the highest ranking official in the area. Amen. You need to understand that. Jairus was willing to pay the ultimate price by coming to Jesus because he ran the risk of arousing the hostility of his peers and losing his position. And as I looked at that and looked at what he had to lose, it made me think about the fact that too many of us allow what others think to keep us from coming to the Lord. Help me, Holy Ghost. They're going to look at me strange. They're going to talk about me. Amen. They're not going to accept me. But Jairus didn't allow anything anybody said to keep him from getting to Jesus. There was a blind man not too long ago stood out by the road. He heard that Jesus was coming by. Amen. And when he got within shouting voice, the Bible says he cried out to the Lord. He said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." But the crowd tried to hush him up and said, "Don't bother the master, leave him alone." And the more they tried to hush him up, the more he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy." mercy on me. He didn't allow the crowd.
Yeah.
Too many of us have not got to where God wants us to be.
Yeah.
Because we have allowed somebody else to stand in our way. We've allowed the naysayers. We've allowed the haters. We've allowed those that didn't want to do any better for themselves to keep us back. Can I get a witness here?
Yes.
Young people,
thank you, Lord.
Don't be dumb for other folks. Don't be dumb for other folks. Sometimes they... Young folk want to dumb themselves up because the folk they hanging out with is dumb. They want to fit in. But I dare you to be yourself. I dare you to excel and to be all that God wants you to be. Jairus didn't care about what folks said about him. He didn't care about losing friends. He didn't care about losing position. All he needed to know was that Jesus was available.
Yeah.
Jesus said on one occasion, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it.
Yeah.
But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.
Uh-huh.
In other words, when you give it up for the Lord, there's nothing but eternal gain.
Yeah.
Do you understand? That's kind of what we talked about a little bit in Sunday school. There's no hold nothing back.
Yeah.
When you give it all to the Lord, there's nothing but gain.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Amen. For me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
To die is gain. Notice how he came. He came, he didn't just come any kind of way.
Uh-huh.
He didn't come with a sense of arrogance and a sense of position and place, but the Bible says he came humbly and fell at Jesus' feet. He came with a troubled heart. And I hear Jesus saying, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So Jairus came humbly, fell at his feet. He denied himself. He forgot himself completely, laying aside his pride. He knew he had position and power and prestige, but none of those things kept his daughter from getting sick. So he laid that all down and fell at Jesus' feet. See, Jairus' concern was over someone else. He was willing to lose, y'all get this. He was willing to lose everything for the sake of someone else. And that was his 12-year-old daughter. She was his only child. And she was dying. Put this question in your mind. What would you do for your only child? Help me, Holy Ghost. What would you do for any of your children? So think about Jairus having one daughter. The Bible says one only daughter. He came to Jesus. And I want to encourage you that Jeremiah 33:3 says, if you call on the Lord, he will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Can I get a witness here? So we see he came humbly. But know what brought him to Jesus. What brought him to Jesus is the same thing that bring us to Jesus. Is that right?
Yes.
He had an upset in his house. He had a problem that couldn't nobody else solve. He had the need of a touch of God on his loved one. And I want to say the greatest thing that anyone can do is come to the Lord. Grandma would say, I came to Jesus like I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place. Not only a resting place, but he had made me glad. Try to get a witness. greatest here.
Yes.
Jairus did the greatest thing a father can do.
Yes.
Then secondly, Jairus demonstrated the greatest example of a father's love.
Yeah.
Verse 42 is right there. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying.
Yeah.
See, y'all get this before I finish. When he came, she was dying. But when Jesus got there, she was dead. But we'll work our way through that. But as he went, the people thronged him, or Jesus. And so he came to talk to Jesus about his child. And I suggest to you, mothers and fathers, the most privileged children in the world are not the ones with wealth or possessions.
That's right.
But those whose parents prayed for thee.
Yes. Yes.
Whose names are before the throne of grace.
Yes.
Look at our world. Shouldn't we be praying more for our children?
Yes.
Also, we need to look at how we parent our children.
Yeah.
Oh, I know it's going to get quiet. But I want to tell you, parents, take back your house. Help me, Holy Ghost. Take back your house. Amen. You should not allow somebody that you gave your life. Amen. To disrespect you in your own house. Take back your house. Don't quit allowing your children to set the agenda for the household. I know a lot of our old parents are saying amen to that, because we know we didn't have no say. See, in Bobby Jean's house, you didn't have no mind. Her mind was your mind. Help me, Holy Ghost. But now we negotiating with our children. We bribing our children. We trying to do all these things to get them to fall in line.
Yeah.
Take back your house.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But let us not forget. Somebody prayed.
Yeah.
For us. Is that right? I remember somebody prayed for me.
Yeah.
Had me on their mind.
Yeah.
Pray for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
They pray.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
They pray.
Yeah.
Then you know how I go. Mama prayed for me.
Yeah.
Kept me on her mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know where I would be.
Yeah.
But I'm praying, Mother, and I'm praying for
me.
Some of the stuff I did and thought I was getting away with and disguised and hiding from God. God was watching everything, but somebody prayed for me.
Yeah.
Those are privileged children, the ones who parents pray for me. The most underprivileged children are those who grow up in godless homes. Those whose parents do not pray for them. Amen. Homes where the rod is spared. The children are spoiled. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. We can sit back and laugh about all of the disciplinary actions that were taken on us that you can't do today because CPS should be at your house. Amen. I guess it wasn't no CPS back then, or your parents just didn't care. When you're going to raise your hand at a child today, they got their own cell phone. They may even have CPS programmed in their some of the stuff my mama did to us, I know she'd have been arrested. Amen. She'd have been in one of Brother Sanders' parenting class on how to raise up children. But when I look back, I'm glad.
morning for you. Take back your home. When we pray for our children, we should expect an answer. Pray expectantly. Don't just go talking to God and don't expect God. When I talk to God, I'm looking. I'm waiting for an answer. Pray with expectancy. Because when Jairus went to Jesus, he expected that Jesus was going to do something about his problem. Look what the scripture says. The Bible says just two words there. He said, Jesus went. Jesus turned and began to move toward Jairus' house. And so the Bible is filled with fathers that prayed for their children. And I'm always, mine always go back to Job. That it says when his sons went and feasted in their own house. Everyone his day and sent and called for their three sisters to eat, drink, and be merry. Right. But when Job went before the Lord, the Bible says that Job prayed and offered sacrifices on behalf of his children just in case his children forgot to pray. And maybe they had sinned against God. And so Job prayed for them continually. Mothers and fathers, never stop praying for your children. Does not matter what condition they are in or where they are, what you think they're going to become, you always pray for them. Jairus did the greatest thing a father can do. Then he demonstrated the greatest example of a father's faith or a father's love. And then finally, Jairus faced the greatest test of a father's faith. He faced the greatest test of a father's faith. Verse 49 and 50, and while he yet spake, then cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Don't worry. Don't bother Jesus. I know he's on his way, but there's no hope now. Your daughter is dead. Don't even worry about bringing him. But when Jesus heard it, hallelujah. Don't you know God hears everything? He answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. When he was awaiting the news of his child's welfare, the word came and it was bad news. You know how we hate bad news. If it ain't one thing, it's another. And the word that he got was a word that paralyzes any parent. Your daughter, your one only 12-year-old daughter is dead. But notice the encouragement from Jesus during this darkest hour. He says, fear not, just believe only, and she shall be made whole. Nothing takes Jesus by surprise. Jesus had basically prepared Jairus for this moment. And you might say, well, I didn't read anything about the Lord preparing him for this moment. Well, it's right there in the text. But you got to notice the parenthetical text. To Jairus being a great father. If I had just a couple of more minutes, I would tell you that along the way, Jesus prepared him. But I want to tell you, don't be alone at the along the way period. See, Jesus went. But on his way, The word came that your daughter is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. He hadn't got there yet.
Uh-huh.
So between he went and before he arrived, that's along the way. Well, what happened to prepare Jairus for, the inevitability of his daughter being dead? Well, the parenthetical text is that as Jesus went, and you read in verses 43 through 48, you remember the crowd was all around him. They was pressing in on him from every side. And there was in the crowd a little old lady who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. This is parenthetical. She had spent every dime on every doctor. Another penny for another prescription. And she still had not recovered. But she did not allow the crowd to keep her from getting to Jesus. Because the Bible says, because she was unclean, she came up from behind. How many of you know you can get somewhere even if you have to come up from behind? And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. And when she found and pressed her way through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, somebody touch me. Help me, Holy Ghost. But Peter said, Lord, there's a whole lot of folk touching me. How and why would you say that? Who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me with a different kind of touch, because I felt virtue leave from my body. Come to the witness here. And the woman saw, that she was made whole. Come to get a witness here. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And so all I'm saying is, when you walk with Jesus, you'll encounter some faith building moments along the way. Can I get a witness here? So he was in that crowd when the woman with the issue of blood came up and touched Jesus. So he now knew experientially the power of Jesus. But then the daughter of this great father, the daughter was healed. Because when he came into the house, he suffered that no man would go into the room except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother. But all of the mourners were weeping, and they bewailed her. But he said, weep not, for she is not dead, but just asleep. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. But Jesus had to put them out. How many of you know that when you scorn and ridicule the Lord, he can't do no works in your presence? Help me, Lord God. And he went in and called the little maid and said, arise and get up. And the spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded that she be fed. Come to get a witness here. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them not to tell anybody what he had done. Well, why did he not want to tell anybody? Because he didn't want them focusing on the miracles. But he had work to do. So he said, don't tell nobody. But you know, that's always counterproductive. Anytime he said, don't tell nobody, we can't wait to tell nobody. Can you witness it? It's like the song said, I couldn't keep it to myself. Help me, Holy Ghost. Nothing is beyond the power of God. Feel not, just believe. And see what Jesus does in your life. Can you witness it? Is everything, he is everything. You need to be as a great father. If you need anything, he's got it. Help me. the Lord God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Siskanua. He's Jehovah Rapha. Come get a witness. He's everything that you need. Just come to him. Whatever your problems might be, call on him. In your hour of distress, you'll find that he's everything that Moses said he was. Moses said when they asked me, who sent me? God said, tell them I am that I am. He's everything that you need. He is all you need. Every time you look at the word of God, you'll find that he is everything that you need. In the book of Genesis, he's the seed of a woman. Amen. Bruised the serpent's heel. Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. Leviticus, he's an atoning sacrifice. The book of Numbers, he's the spirit of the rock. Deuteronomy, he's the prophet of God. In Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord's army. In Judges, he is my deliverer. In Ruth, he's my heavenly kinsman. Amen. In the book of history, he's the promised king. In Nehemiah, he's the building of the Lord's house. In Esther, he's my advocate. In Job, he's my redeemer. In Psalms, he's my all in all. In Proverbs, he's my pattern. Can you witness it? Ecclesiastes, he's my gold. Songs of Solomon, he's my satisfier. In the book of the prophets, he's the promise, amen. Prince of peace. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he's the Son of God who came to seek and to save those who are lost. In the Pauline epistles, in the pastoral epistles, he's the Son of God who sits on the right hand. That's in me. In Revelation, he's the groom that will come back. Yes. You want to be a great father? Get in touch with him who has all power. All power. In heaven and earth. He's in his hand. Luke said that. Yeah. That's medical terminology. Yeah. Straightway. Yeah. She got up yeah. with no hesitation. Yeah. Jesus had power yeah. over yeah. the grave. Yeah. Over death. Yeah. He showed that. Yeah. He showed that. On this occasion, it was a young person who had just died.
Yes.
So somebody might say, well, she was just in a coma. Uh-huh. She wasn't really dead.
Yeah.
He got up.
Yeah.
But just in case somebody doubted his power,
yeah.
he interrupted a Golden Gate funeral procession. A young man.
Yeah.
Hold up.
His mother was with him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Stop.
Stop. Yeah.
Right where you are.
Yeah.
On our way to the cemetery.
Yeah.
He stopped him and touched
yeah.
the young man. He got up.
Yeah. Yeah.
In case you still doubted.
Yeah.
We had a young child.
Right.
A young man.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said, let me show you my power.
Yeah.
There was an old man who was a friend of Jesus by the name of Lazarus.
Yeah.
He died and was already in the grave for 4 days.
Yeah.
The Bible says he's speaking now.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, show me where you lay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stepped out there on the brinks of the grave.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say Lazarus.
Yeah.
Lazarus. Lazarus. Come forth.
Yeah.
He spake with specificity.
Yeah.
Because with all of his power, if he just said, get up, everybody would have say so. In the portals of glory, talking with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I heard him say, hush. Hush. Somebody's calling my name. He walked out, wrapped up in grace. Jesus said, turn him loose and let him go. He got power, y'all.
Yes, sir.
A great father.
Yes, sir.
He came to Jesus. Amen. He was a good example. And he did not mind his faith being tested. Brothers, don't grow weary in doing what is right. Because in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Set a godly example. Be all that God wants you to be. And that's more than the world could ever make you. Is that right? May God bless you. May His Spirit keep you out there. The door of the church is open.
Yes, it is.
You're here, this is your opportunity to say yes to the Lord.
Jesus, why?